Hello, now we will go into ion optics. So let's take the file. So here in the right, we have our coordinate system. Now it's a fixed coordinate system where the particles move. And we have right-handed coordinate system Z, X, and S. And the particles are primarily going to S direction. And in this fixed coordinate system, we can write the Lorentz force. Or here, actually, acceleration, because we have divided this force by the mass. So it's V equals B. So we have the unit vectors Z, X, and S, the right-handed coordinate system, and velocities Vx, Vz, Vx, Vs, and the corresponding magnetic fields. And the radius vector somewhere here. So we have the origin here, and the particle is up here. So the radius vector is the Z component times the unit vector Z and correspondingly X and S. And from here, we calculate the velocity by taking the time derivative simply like this. So the unit vectors don't change because we have a fixed coordinate system. And the acceleration take the second time derivative. And from here, we can calculate the accelerations to Z, X, and S directions using this Lorentz force. So this is an acceleration vector which has these components, the Z, X, and S. And from this determinant here, we get these components here. So velocity to x direction times bs minus velocity to s direction times bx, and so forth. We don't need to go into very, very detail here, because we will later go into a more sophisticated way of representing the beam. But this is how it goes. And as I said, this is a fixed Cartesian coordinate system. And here we have the differentiation with respect to time. But when we travel along a beam line, for example, then we are more interested in how the coordinates and velocities, the directions are changed along the trajectory. So we come from time domain to position domain. This just notation means that in time domain, we denote the derivative with dot, and in the position domain, the derivative is prime. So now z dot, so derivative of z, can be now written like this. So we take the transformation. So z dot is dz dt. And we multiply and divide this with ds. So we have ds down here and ds up here. So now this is the derivative of z with respect to position s. So z prime. And this is the velocity into direction S. And then we can get the second derivative. Just simply, we have this here. So Z prime times S dot squared plus z prime s dot dot from here. And in the same way that then s dot dot, like here. And we know that velocity squared is the sum of the squares of these velocities into these three different directions, s, z, and x. So we can write this v squared as s dot squared. So this is the velocity into s direction, and then here 1 plus z prime squared plus x prime squared. So these are the derivatives with respect to s. And from there we can then write the equation of motion in z and x direction, and here with respect to position, because we have here primes. This looks a bit complicated here, but don't worry, we will get into much more simple ways when we make some assumptions. So for example, if you have the motion only in XS plane in a homogeneous magnetic field, so that we have only the Z component and that's constant, and BX and BS, they are all zero. Then Z dot, Z prime is zero, so there won't be any any direction in the Z direction because we are moving in X plane. And Z prime is also zero. So using these, we can get this kind of representation for x prime prime here. So x prime prime divided by 1 plus x prime squared and the power to the 3 halves. That's the same as qbz divided by b. And this then gives the 1 over bending radius. So b rho, you can get the rho up here, and that's b over q. You remember this notation. B rho is b over q. And here the minus sign comes from the our choice of coordinate system, so that the x direction was to the right. And now we have bz, so the the magnetic field pointing to z direction. So this is the b rho b over q that you always remember. And this is a notation for curvature, 1 over rho, like we have here, 1 over rho. So the particle moves on a circle with radius rho. And now let's go into a coordinate system where we follow the beam, so it's a curved coordinate system. So we follow the reference trajectory. So here, this is the trajectory of the particle beam, and here at this point, it has a certain curvature. The curvature changes along the path. So for example, if you have a beam line with the straight sections, there the curvature is infinite. And when we come into a dipole magnet, a bending magnet, then we have a constant rho inside the magnet because we have constant magnetic field. So we fix the coordinate system that it always points to the direction of velocity. Of course, every particle has its own direction, because all the particles cannot simply go into the same direction. There's some deviation in direction and position, but we choose the direction as the center of the beam. Or the center of our optical system. and then the particles then oscillate around around the reference trajectory whenever they feel focusing forces from magnets. Now we have this right-handed coordinate system ZXS. But near S equals to zero here, so at this point we have a cylindrical coordinate system ZR theta. So we make locally a small piece of circle here when we have the magnetic field there. And now this rho is the bending radius of the reference particle reference orbit. But if you are a bit away from this reference orbit, then we are at position R, and that's the so from as measured from the center here. So the reference orbit is a radius of rho, and we have a small deviation x when we are a bit away from the reference orbit, and then this theta is the length of the arc here, and rho is the radius of this circle. And if you have a Cartesian system, then so we are going straight, then rho is infinite. So now we are looking at this area here, not just the point here where x and z are zero and s is zero, but we just look at what we have here in the vicinity of this point. So we make a field expansion in the curved coordinate system, and now we, for simplicity, we assume that we don't have any magnetic field, transverse magnetic field. So no x and bx, and no longitudinal magnetic field bs. So we have only the axial axial field in the symmetric plane. So we have a median plane symmetry, which means that the bz is the same a bit above and a bit below the median plane. And since the magnetic fields are curved like this, then bx above is the same as minus bx, the same distance below. And also BS, for the BS, the same thing. And now we use this kind of notation. So we have had in our equation Q over P times BZ. That was it. Then we are bending now. It's 1 over rho and minus here because of the sign of the choice of the direction of x-axis, and we mark that by h. So this is the linear term, or the constant term actually. And then if we take a derivative of this bz with respect to x, so that's the transverse component in horizontal plane, then we denote that by k, and we take the second derivative, we denote that by m, and then third derivative, we denote that by n. And this kind of fields, so if k is constant, then we have a quarter pole magnet. Which has four poles. We will see it later. And if the second derivative is constant, then we are talking about sextupole or hexapole. And So we have six poles. And if the third derivative is constant, then we have an octupole, so eight poles produce that kind of dependence. Now we write the field expansion in the symmetric plane, which is z equal to zero. So this q over p times bz, that's the first term here, h, which is of course also a function of s, and then then the first derivative times x, and then the third derivative times x squared times 1 over 2 factorial. So it's a Taylor expansion. And then the same thing for the third derivative, and then we have higher order terms. And now outside median plane, so if we have a bit above or below, so we can write this here. We're using also Maxwell's equations. Now don't go into very very details here. It's not so important. But if we have only linear focusing, so only dipolar magnets and quadrupolar magnets, then only these components here. These have higher order components, and if you don't have any octupoles or sextupoles or so, then these are zero. And anyway, if you have just very small deviations in x or z direction, x or z direction, then this is a linear linear approximation, and this is valid. And with this notation here, we have here some alphas and betas here in this equations here. So otherwise it would be even more complicated looking. So only in the linear case we need just these components here. Now let's write the linear trajectory equations in the curved coordinate system. It's actually another way to write the Kerr-Serber equations. And now here, because we have a curved coordinate system, then the unit vectors of the curved coordinate system, they vary with time. And now we assume that we have bending only in the XS plane. So we are not bending the beam up or down, just sideways. And then in that case, the unit time derivative of the unit vector in the Z direction is zero, because we are not bending it there. And then for X direction, it's the unit vector S times S dot divided by rho, and for unit vector S, its time derivative is the X minus X unit vector times S dot divided by rho. And now we have the position vector here, and then the velocity and acceleration. We can plug these things in here, and this is what we get, but we don't use too much time here to look at this, because we will later see this very elegant ways of treating this, but and then we use those in the future, but this is the background. And now we write again this set dot. So velocity in the z direction is s dot times z prime, and x dot is s dot times x prime, and the second derivatives are here. Z prime prime times s dot s prime squared plus z prime times s dot dot, and here the same for x dot dot. So the second derivative with respect to time, and we insert those into the Lorentz force. And but here it's acceleration because we have divided both sides with m here. And this is what we get. So now we have here the derivatives with respect to s. So z prime prime plus this factor here equals to this here. So here we have the magnetic field components and the velocity. And the same for x. And v over s dot can be written like this. So this means that this s dot is the velocity of the of the particle along the optical axis, so the reference trajectory, and then if you have small deviations there, then we have so we have an angle towards z direction or an x direction, and here and we are bending, and we are a bit out from the orbit which has radius rho, and then we have a bit larger radius, and of course it gives a bit more velocity, and this is the s dot dot divided by s dot squared. Okay, but now we take only the linear terms. Now we are closing with something that looks quite familiar. So v over s dot, so the s dot was the velocity along the reference orbit, and then that's roughly 1 plus x over rho, and s dot dot is 0. And we also assume that we have a small deviation from our reference momentum. So 1 over p, this is the momentum of our particle, and this is the momentum of our reference particle, and 1 over p can be written like this. So we have here the binomial expansion. And q over p times bz is approximately minus 1 over rho plus kx. So we truncated the series, and it is bs component is just simply 0. And what we have left here looks a bit like Kerr-Seibert equations. But here the k is not the k in Kerr-Seibert equation. Let's go back here. So k is this thing here. So it is a bit different factor here in front of the derivative. And also here we have derivatives with respect to position. z prime prime and x prime prime. So this is just simply a harmonic oscillator. And here, if the particles have exactly the same momentum as the reference particle, so delta P is zero, then this is zero here. But now we are bending the beam in this XS plane, and of course the momentum has an effect on the radius. The larger momentum, the larger is the radius. And this takes care of that. But anyway, the equations are quite simple when we have a linear case and bending only in the XS plane. Okay, we will make a stop here, and in the next lecture we will go to this general solution of trajectory equations in terms of principal trajectories. Okay, we stop this sharing here.